on this week's episode to talk about A Quiet Place.
Part 2.
And other pop culture news.
This week, after seeing the trailer a gajillion times, after release dates got changed.
And why did we see the trailer a gajillion times? It's not because we were like waiting, like super excited about this movie. We were waiting super excited movie. But because of the pandemic, some movie theaters, and I'm pretty sure I can say that in most places you could find movie theaters that were open, using social distancing, masking, hygienizing, is that how you say?
No, but we should. That's a fun one.
Hygienizing all the seats and everything you touch.
Cleaning is usually
Use hygiene, so they were hygienizing. You know? All the what's it called? Polyforms? No, the places you touch, they have like this fancy name
for it. Do they?
Yeah. So I work, it's like, we have to clean the... can't remember, I forgot the name. I hear that so much. Anyways, hygienizing, social distancing, mess. So I'm pretty sure there were movie theaters everywhere on the planet that were still open. Because people need that escapism. People need entertainment. And also, these good people that provide us with that, they need to work, right?
Yeah, they need businesses to function.
Yeah, and they need to provide for their lives. Mm-hmm. So, during this time, the movies were still open. We went to see several movies like you did, like everybody in the planet did. And there was a certain repetitiveness of trailers,
because there were only so many movies coming out.
Yes, and the industry kept changing dates, stalling, pushing premieres away.
Yeah.
And one of the trailers that was like playing to exhaustion was the Quiet Place 2. That's why you saw it so many times.
So many times. Not complaining. It was a solid trailer. But anyway, the point is, after all this, we finally got to see it. And I have to say, it was totally worth the wait. It was an incredible film.
No, it was.
They
nailed it. Yeah, it was brought to you by the same people that made the original one. Mm-hmm. Krasinski directed and wrote it. This one, he wrote it by himself. Different than the other ones that he had co-writers.
Yeah.
The cast was basically the same. Krasinski's family and Emily Blunt, his wife in the movie and his wife in real life. Mm-hmm. The kids, not their kids. Mm-hmm. But yeah, with some addition. Some new characters.
So before we get into that, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Oh yeah, sorry. We really should be quiet.
Yeah. Before we get into the movies, one thing I noticed is the movie is very successful. It's the movie theater was packed, and I don't think it was only because this last week or past week, this like not long ago, the restrictions started dropping everywhere. The no mandatory requirement of masks, the whole percentage use of the theaters, you know, before they had to separate groups of people, and I don't think they use every row. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, there were people right in front of us.
No, not yesterday. Before.
Oh yeah, before it was every other row.
Yeah. Now that all that dropped, and I'm pretty sure it was not because of that. It was because the movie was expected, and it was packed.
It was, yeah. Yeah, people have been waiting for this and wanting to see it. I've heard it described, this is like the first big summer blockbuster.
Pretty much, for this year. Yeah. It's that, it comes a family soon.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, but this is the first one. This is kind of like opening up the summer season, and not just for this year, but like also post-pandemic. Anyway.
Yeah.
Kind of reopening blockbuster movies.
Yeah, and this movie was delayed a lot. It was supposed to be last summer.
Yeah.
Pretty much, and it's finally out. Mm-hmm. But the movie catch up. We catch up with the family right immediately after the end of the first movie. Yeah. And for me, that's one of the reasons why it works.
Yeah, and if you notice, it's not called The Quiet Place 2, it's Quiet Place Part 2. So we're really, it's the same story. It's more like a next chapter than a next movie, if that makes sense. Yeah, no hiatus, nothing, just boom, right there. But it actually, I can't remember, do we start, it starts with day one though, right?
On this movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, it starts with a flashback, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so first, we finally get to see how everything started, and I thought this was done so well. I was kind of, I was hoping we'd get a little bit more explanation about the origins of this, like where these creatures came from, but he did it so well. All we see is just like, I don't know, like a meteor or something, like falling out of the sky. And that's all the information we get about them, which I think is perfect.
But that's one of the good qualities of the first one. He tells this whole story, and we don't know much detail. It's like the focus of the we follow the family, and we don't have much detail about what are those things and what they want, what they came from. And it's sometimes just kind of annoying because they just go and kill everything. It's like, why do they kill everything? You know, they don't eat those. They just kill those. But one of the main qualities of the first movie was like the lack of details on purpose. And on this one, even on the sequence where they show the initial invasion. And this is funny because the guys listen to the radio and the radio fails. And I was like, how does it go?
Oh, what did I say? Like,
communications disruption means invasion.
Only one thing, invasion.
Yeah. But yeah, there's not a lot of details, which is good.
Yeah, it doesn't distract. It gives us like a little bit more. I think really the flashback just helped us understand the characters. It showed us some of their relationships, a little bit what their life was before.
For me, the flashback was already like crushing my heart, because we know they lost a kid. In the beginning of the first movie, they have two kids and she's pregnant and they had lost one, and then they showed this kid in the beginning. It was like, oh crap, you're gonna go through this. But the flashback established a lot of things, including one to be main character later in the movie, one of the friends. They are together in this baseball game, so that served to introduce him. I mean, I guess we didn't need that, but I guess.
But I think it helped that, like, when he shows up later, it's not out of the blue.
Yeah, like, and it was a combination of, you know, showing a little bit of the invasion. It's since they didn't do it in the first one, I guess they earned the right to show a little bit of an invasion on this one. And then they used that to introduce that character.
Yeah, and it really was just enough to develop the characters more and to help us kind of deepen our understanding of, like, the trauma and the tragedy that they've experienced over the course of the last 400-something days since the invasion. So we cut from day one to, like, the moment after John Krasinski dies, and Emily Blunt is gathering her children, gathering their things, and they leave the house because the house is burning down. Like, there's nothing left.
And that's an interesting thing. It's still on fire for the night before action. And so it's immediately. So we see.
They have to step around, like, this alien body. You know, everything is still very fresh and. Yeah.
She goes back inside the house that's being flooded and get the oxygen tanks. They're going to be important for their survival and for the plot down the road. The girl, I can't remember her name, she...
The actress is Millicent Simmons.
She's actually local. She's from Bountiful, right?
She's from here in Utah.
And then she gets the tech that she put together, her father put together, and she figured out together with him that causes the sonic disruption that affects the aliens. Yeah. So she grabbed that, and they leave.
And as they leave, we see them walking barefoot. Emily Blunt's foot is bandaged from when she had stepped on that nail in the first one. They're walking.
Ah, but before they leave, there's something. Before they leave, she climbs the silo, the water tower, whatever that is, and put the fire, because they have this like fire communications with someone distant, and she does that one last time, and the beacons are lit.
Yeah.
But Gondor's not coming for help.
It's true, but she's got a map out. She being the daughter, she's got a map out. They're trying to figure out where should we go and all of that. And so you can see that this is the first part in the huge character development that I think makes this movie so great. The daughter starting to step up to kind of fill the shoes that her dad left behind, and in terms of like protecting her family and helping her mom and all the rest. Her mom, who has just given birth, just lost her husband, and now has to take her children out into this terrifying wilderness. So they walk down the path, the sand path. We see that it's starting to get covered with leaves. And then they reach the end of the sand path. And that's kind of their step. Then they have to step out into the unknown. And they keep going. They get to this train. Like, it looks like a train depot type place. They're following. And that's when we see what we've seen in the trailer so many times, where her foot catches on like a tripwire, and there's this noise trap that falls, and she goes, "Oh, run!" And so they start running, and then the sun steps in like a bear trap and starts screaming
screams if you know if you step on a bear trap.
Yeah, no, it's a totally reasonable reaction to that. But now they know like these creatures are coming for them, and the camera's cutting between like the camera on them, but then also watching them through sights, and you can hear this breathing, so you know somebody's watching them. And then one of the creatures comes, and we're seeing this all through like a scope, like a hunting scope or something. One of the creature comes, and the daughter sets up her cochlear implant with a speaker and blasts it with a sound, and Emily Blunt, bam, shoots it. And they keep running, and eventually this masked person like grabs them and like, "Come with me," and gets them to a safe place where they can kind of wait out until this other creature goes away, more or less.
Yes, Cillian Murphy, is that his name?
Yeah.
Is the new character to help them, and we recognize him from the beginning of the movie. He's friends with the family. Mm-hmm. They were all together in the baseball game. And
his son is the same age as their son.
Yeah, and they were all playing together, and then he's like completely miserable and on disbelief of mankind and everything. It's like, it's like, "You cannot stay here. I can't help you."
We find out that his son died on that day. We find out his wife had died a couple of months previously, and he's just done. He's got nothing left.
Yeah. But the interactions with their family, he end up changing his mind and helping. And one crucial moment of the movie is when they were all there, and then the kid start listening to the radio, and he listened to music, and is playing over and over "Beyond the Sea," the same song, and then the girl figures this out, that that's not a coincidence. That's not music. That's a signal.
Mm-hmm.
It's saying "Beyond the Sea." She grabs a map and sees an island. And it's like, "I have to go there." And so she gets ready to go there, and she leaves. She runs. She says, "I'm not gonna tell mom. Mom's not gonna let me."
Yeah.
And then she goes, and next day they wake up, and she's gone. And the mother begs him to go get this girl, and one of the things he says, it's even in the trailer, that's like, "In this world, there's people that are not worth saving." And this is like, you "If my husband was here, you would tell him, your friend, that his little girl is not worth saving." So she like punched him really hard, in the heart, and he was like, "Fine." He doesn't say that, but he goes and go help her. And then when he go help her,
so now we're split. Now the story's split in two. We've got the daughter and Cillian Murphy, and then the mother and the son, who's horribly injured, and the baby are now staying. They've got this, like, safe sort of place when... so they're surviving there. The daughter's surviving there.
Yeah, and the girl is like, "I'm gonna take you home." And he's like, "Home? There's, what is that? You said you want to help. What, you know, what make you change?" And then she, and also Amor punches the heart on this guy, and it's like, "Fine, I'll help you go to the island." Mm-hmm. So I found a boat. So they go, keep walking, and find this boat. They get in trouble with some other, I mean, lost reference, other type of people. They're really, really bad. And they, from that, people don't hear anything. I guess there's not a lot of talking on this post-apocalyptic world. But this, even less.
Yeah.
So they trap them and... and
this is where we see, like, Cillian Murphy really step up. We really see, like, how much his character's already changed and how much the hope that this family has brought him and how that's displaced his despair. He's ready to just give his life to save this girl. And, I mean, he doesn't die in this part, but he puts it all on the line and manages to rescue her. And in the meantime, we discover that these monsters can't swim.
Which is
awfully convenient, but also totally believable because they're all, like, spidery and weird anyway.
Yeah. So, yeah, he does save her, and they get together, get to the boat, and they go to the island.
Mm-hmm.
So meanwhile, the rest of the family is back home. The mother decides to leave because she's running out of oxygen for the baby.
And medicine for the kid.
Was, oh, yeah,
the
course.
Gaping hole in his leg.
Yeah. And she's like, "Hey, I have to go." So she starts a journey and looking for supplies. And the kid stays by himself. And I can't remember what happens with them that triggers the...
They kind of hint to it at the beginning of the movie on day one he's like a really anxious kid. She's always telling him, like, you know, breathe and, like, calm down. And so he's starting to freak out because his mom's been gone a long time and he's alone with a baby. So he steps out of the safe spot and starts looking around, and he pulls back a curtain and he finds Cillian Murphy's wife's remains. And he gasps and jumps back, and it makes this huge clatter. So he's got to hobble back, but that clatter brings one of the monsters.
Yeah.
So he hobbles back, grabs the baby, jumps into the safe that has this big lock on the outside, but it slips. And so he ends up accidentally locking him and his baby brother inside with a limited supply of air.
Yeah.
So time is ticking for them.
Yeah, and so the mother gets everything she needs and goes back, and the friend and the daughter arrive at the island, and they found out that there's a happy community of survivors there.
Happy as in, like, they can talk to each other and
they're having
noise.
A barbecue.
Yeah,
so
it's a freaking bonfire.
Yeah, normal life. And then we learn from them that it's like during the invasion, the authorities found out that these things could not swim. So let's put people into boats and let's move them out in the sea. Where,
and this is like New York City. I think this island is close to New York City, so
yeah, it's like New Jersey, New York City area. So, and then he talks about how things got crazy too when they're trying to get to the boats, but finally some people made it into safety. And so, and everything is fine there. Cillian Murphy hears a noise and finds out that one of the boats by the dock where he got their boat to get the island got loose, and inside the creature made it to the island. So the creature starts hunting everything and everybody. So we have action of people hiding and trying to escape. On that side of the story, on the other side of the story, you have the mom arriving where the monster is attacking their kids. Mm-hmm. And the mom uses oxygen to blow one of them.
It was a very Jaws moment. She like blows it to the oxygen tank and then bam.
But we know that people tried everything. Fire, bullets, nothing affect those people. But we found out the plan is a fire will activate the fire sprinklers, the fire extinguisher system mm-hmm. on the building. And it will like rain, it will drop water all over the place. And that ocean of drops will cause an ocean of sounds that will like torture the thing mm-hmm. enough for her to shoot him in the head.
And also to let her walk by and get to her kids.
Yeah, so she shot him and then goes to the kids. And they get together inside the furnace, they got locked there. Virtually safe and using the remaining oxygen she got. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, on the other side, the other team escapes.
Yeah, so this is where Jaimin Hansu comes into the movie. Am I saying his name right? Probably not. But he's kind of like the leader of the community on the island. He grabs Cillian Murphy and the daughter and they jump in a car and book it to... He's honking the horn to try to lure the creature away and also book it to this broadcasting station so they can broadcast the sound and basically save everybody. They get to the station as the thing is like clawing at the car and like ripping off the top and everything. They get to the station, they run inside, the creature grabs Hansu and he's done for. And now it's hunting Cillian Murphy and the girl. So now it's just a time, like a waiting game. They're trying to get into the broadcasting room, trying to get to the mic, but the monster's hunting them, and so there's like back and forth and like distracting it, and eventually they realize the only way is for Cillian Murphy to like distract it with himself. So again, he puts everything on the line to get her into that room so that she can put her implant on the microphone and make the noise.
Yeah, and she broadcasts, mm-hmm. and that affects this monster. At the same time, mm-hmm. that her brother turns the radio, she left a note for him, keep listening. So he's listening to the music, and then it turns into the signal, and then he uses that. So mm-hmm. On a parallel cut, at the same time she's doing this to the monster and like beat him to death, mm-hmm. he's doing this with the radio and shoot him to death. So they both save their parties.
And she gets some great like Dragon Slayer imagery because she doesn't have a gun or anything with her, so she just picks up this like broken pipe and like bam, and then we see her like pull it out of the monster's head like a knight like pulling a sword from a stone. It's great mythic imagery,
right? Yeah, there. And they saved the day, mm-hmm. and there's not much more after that, right?
Not really. We see that everyone's okay, and then the closing shot is her implant. Well, I guess it's not really the implant, it's the mic on the outside. Anyway, it's her implant kind of hanging on the radio microphone, broadcasting this sound.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, they more people know how to survive those things, how to, you know, going from defense to offense, mm-hmm. how to beat those, and now it's being broadcast. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the movie ends in a cliffhanger per se, because mm-hmm. the family is separated in two different places.
Yes.
But again, they have a radio station, so they could tell the families, like, hey, we're safe here, you come here. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. There's rumors that they want to develop a third one, and there's been rumors they wanted to develop a third one even before the second one was premiered, because she's excited about it, and it might happen. Especially because the movie is doing so well in the box office, considering all the circumstances. Quiet Place Part 2 is available nationwide and everywhere on the planet. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And on HBO Max, right?
You'll see it now.
It's not?
It's a Paramount movie.
Never mind. I said that. Wherever you find it, it's an amazing film with beautiful character development. So well made.
Yeah, all the qualities of the first one amplified and mm-hmm. continued on this one. There's a very interesting elements on the use of sound to mm-hmm. to portray her perspective of things because she can't hear.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in some scenes, the sound action goes from rah to
yeah.
complete silence. Mm-hmm. So it only stays in the visual because, you know, we're following her.
Yeah. And when you go see this in the theater, as I hope you do, be quiet. Some movies you can get away with, like, whispering to somebody or talking a little bit to your neighbor, and I get that, and that's fine. But this is not one of those movies. It's very quiet quite often. And both, when we saw the first one, there were people talking. Second one, people, like, explaining the movie to each other.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel the first time was as bad. This time, I think people simply don't know how to go to the movies anymore. It's been so long.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, anyway, so just keep it down and enjoy it.
But yeah, Quiet Place 2, go mm-hmm. see it.
It's amazing. All right, let's get to some news.
Yes, we have the news.
So first up, we've got a trailer for a new Marvel movie, The Eternals.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
We see that.
We did see that.
Yeah. I mean, I thought we talked about it, but yeah, now we mm-hmm. saw it.
Yeah.
And it's vague. It doesn't say anything. If anything, mm-hmm. it says some stuff that goes against continuity of what we know from the Marvel Universe. They claim they're here forever since the beginning, and they are so powerful, and they did nothing when Thanos was around. Or Loki on the first invasion.
Yeah.
Or COVID, or, you know, so many things.
Anyways. Yeah. It's a valid point. That said, I do think it was a nice trailer, because they just showed us, like, ooh, look at this beautiful, shiny movie with a big, interesting cast and cool costumes. Don't you want to see it? Without telling us anything about, like, the plot or twist or things like that.
Talking about casting, the group is huge.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure half of them gonna die, because they cannot... I mean, I guess it requires a little bit more talent and effort and creativeness. And, you know, Hollywood mm-hmm. is play safe and, you know, stick to the lane is working and having so many characters to deal with that many characters properly. I'm pretty sure they're going to play safe and kill half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about the Eternals.
I mean, not
heard of them before ever.
I'm not talking about the specific characters. I'm talking mm-hmm. about the logistics of it. Because
sure.
You had Avengers Infinity War, right?
Yeah.
And what they did, they split the action in three, which in some a lot of moments in the movie it does not work, because when you do two, like we just talked about Quiet Place, mm-hmm. it's like bum bum. Bum, bum. If you cut to a third place, you know, there's you're missing timing on one, because you go from one to a third or one to a second. Mm-hmm. And there's always the third one that's going to be time in this.
Sure.
It's hard. So they found that solution for Avengers, they split them three, and then they killed mm-hmm. half of the universe, and then they had a small group. So to deal with a big group like that, they're either gonna kill them or, I don't know, isolate them in some...
Sure.
I mean, I guess they could split the group in two. Split in two is not bad. It's doable. It's possible.
Sure.
And they can do it. Can be done very well. But even when we bring them back together, you know... I don't know. I just think it's kind of quite clear that it's too many characters for them to deal from the experience we have from the past.
Sure. All right. Well, we'll find out. Yeah. Do we have a release date?
But it does look good. It's has an interesting cast. Mm-hmm. Of course, the trailer has jokes because it's a Marvel movie.
It's a Marvel movie. Yeah.
And
that's how they do.
It's a very diverse cast.
Mm-hmm.
There's man, there's woman, there's people of color, there's gay people, there's kids, there's Kit Harington. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, we haven't.
He's gonna be Black Knight. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool. I like that. That was one big thing about that movie that I enjoyed. He's gonna be Black Knight. I thought it was really cool casting choice. But yeah, there's a it's December, I think. December.
Yeah.
I think so.
I don't remember. I usually look that up before, and I didn't. Oh well. All right. So the Eternals. Big cast, big movie coming in December, maybe?
I'm pretty sure it's December.
Okay. Other news, Warner Brothers is working on a Willy Wonka prequel. This would take them away from any of Roald Dahl's source material.
Why? There's no origins?
He never wrote a prequel. Nope.
Willy Wonka origins.
No.
He goes to the Himalayas.
There's a sequel.
And be trained by a Dark Lord. Train me to make chocolate.
Yeah.
Welcome to the League of Shadows of Chocolates.
Mmm. But they have really good dark chocolate. Anyway. No, so they're going far beyond the original source material. As someone... Roald Dahl was my first favorite author. I loved these books as a kid, and I read them over and over. So I have some mixed feelings about this, but they've announced Timothy Chalamet as the young Willy Wonka.
They have some similar features. I can see that. Yeah.
He definitely looks like the Willy Wonka in the book illustrations. Some of the classic, most popular book illustrations. So that could be cool. And I guess we'll see if it plays on the Johnny Depp, like Tim Burton Willy Wonka, or the old school, original, fabulous, beloved, perfect Gene Wilder
Willy Either Wonka. Way, both movies, we'll both versions, they go towards comedy. And mm-hmm. to do an origin film... towards comedy, I don't know.
Yeah.
To make that guy, I don't know. Maybe it's gonna be awesome. I don't know. I have no feelings or expectations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious if they're gonna do like a serious origin of this guy that became the master of chocolates, or candy. No, it's chocolate. It's chocolate factory.
Yeah.
Or a dark story of, because he's kind of cuckoo, right?
He is. I feel like book Willy Wonka is somewhere between Gene Wilder and Johnny Depp. But yeah, he is a little bit disturbing. And like any of Roald Dahl's books, there's like oh, this is lovely. Like, oh, actually, this is really disturbing. He just kind of dances on that line. So.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Yep, we will see. In the meantime, there's drama going on the Powerpuff Girls live action TV show.
It's actually the opposite of drama. I mean, it is drama, but
yeah.
The movie, the pilot was considered not good. They were ordered to repilot, to do another pilot. So the show is still alive.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why the show was called into a repilot was because it was too campy, but it's Powerpuff Girls. How is that too campy?
Yeah, and
what they want to make a dark, serious Powerpuff Girls.
They might. What network is doing Powerpuff Girls?
CW.
Oh yeah. Well, there's your problem. They.
Yeah.
CW doesn't do. Well, they kind of did a.
Legend is hilarious. Yeah. It's super campy.
I suppose. I don't know. I am, you know, very campy, skeptical about, you know, the success of this.
You know how campy Legends of Tomorrow is?
Uh-huh.
They're going to do an episode in the future where Dwayne The Rock Johnson is the president.
Yes. Oh,
so,
what a gift.
Anyways, I mean, I didn't like the idea of a Powerpuff Girls live action with adult. Even if they're going to try to pretend they are teenagers. You know what I mean? But they're going to do it. So now they did it. It was too campy. And I mean, it's going to a repilot, which is a good thing. It could get a cancellation right there. It's like we're not moving on.
It's true. So there's something there that they want to keep trying.
So.
And they're not changing the cast or anything.
I don't think so. Maybe nothing major so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just need to change the tone, so, I guess. I don't know, though. I've never watched Powerpuff Girls and thought, huh, this would be cool if it was live action. Some, I feel like some things work as cartoons that maybe.
No, I think it would be. I think it would be awesome if it was live action, but if there were just like an adaptation of the animation into live action, like little girls that have powers, even the same as the animation.
Sure.
Not teenage or adult girls that now have. I don't know. Anyways, it remains to be seen.
Yes, it does. Okay, previously we mentioned that Amazon was trying to buy MGM, and it turns out they did.
8.45 million.
Billion.
Billion, that's what I said.
Million would be a
that's
freaking steal.
That's what I said.
Oh,
8.5 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Amazon's gonna get all the MGM catalog.
Yeah.
You know, Lord of the Rings, James Bond movies, yeah. Among others. And mm-hmm. There's already like starting conversations of what's gonna happen with all those contents in a different. There are in different networks and different streaming services.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know yet. But for me, it only makes sense since Amazon was willing to invest like billions on Lord of the Rings itself, like they did. For the show, they are working on it.
Yeah.
It only makes sense to you know buy the rest of the trademark, the copyright,
sure.
And make money, you know, on everything else. And big tech, the nerds are taking over Hollywood. You know, like yeah.
I can think of worse things to happen.
Yeah, we'll see.
We will see.
I mean, Amazon already makes and distributes movies to the theaters, so it's not only
mm-hmm.
it's not that the movie, the film industry at the theaters will die. They're still gonna, they do what they're doing, and they're doing well, they've been nominated, and they've been popular, they're making things people
yeah, like. They're making good stuff.
Yeah. But now they own Leo the Lion. Is that his name? I think that's his name.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't remember. All right, Aaron Taylor Johnson had perhaps the quickest and most underwhelming death I felt in the Marvel.
What do you mean by quickest?
Well, like his role, he came in and out of our lives so quickly, and wasn't there long enough for us, for me anyway, to like really feel it when he died. It was just like, oh, what? He's gone? Oh, okay, whatever. But that's okay because he's coming back for another Marvel role. To clarify, he was Quicksilver in Avengers...
Age of Ultron,
yeah. Which is why I was trying to shoehorn in the quick thing as like a clever pun.
Yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. No, didn't work we got that.
Yeah.
No, I was trying to think if it was quick. He started in the beginning of the movie, he died at the end of the movie, so...
Yeah. Anyway, but he's coming back. But not as Quicksilver.
Yeah, he was cast as Kraven the Hunter for the Spider-Man villain mm-hmm. movie adaptation for the solo villain movie, Kraven, which Sony is putting together the Sinister Six, apparently. They did one for Mobius, it's gonna come out. They're gonna do one for Kraven,
mm-hmm.
They have the Venom, they have the Carnage, so they're putting together the villains, you know.
Who else is part of the Sinister Six?
They have different group formations,
mm.
But there's rumors that one, what's his bucket, William Dafoe would come back as Green Goblin and lead the Sinister Six.
Interesting.
Or Franco, I don't know which one, but yeah. I heard William Dafoe, I didn't hear Franco, so yeah. Maybe he didn't die, or clones, or who knows.
Yeah.
But we have Green Goblin, there we have Ven, we have Mysterio, mm-hmm. We have plenty of villains to do the Sinister Six. And most of, it's like, Spider-Man has like so many villains, and from time to time, six of them get together, you know, and... there's different formations throughout the comic book history,
but it's nice that they stick to six.
But right now,
respect for the name.
But right now we have Vulture, we have it's a Scorpion from the first Spider-Man Sony movie. We do have Morbius. We do have Venom or Carnage. It could be. I guess we'd go Carnage since Venom is a good guy in this universe. They have. What was this one we just mentioned?
Kraven.
The Kraven. And who else do we have?
Did you say Green Goblin again?
Yeah, but Green Goblin would be from the other Spider-Verse.
Oh.
There's someone else on this one.
Did you say Mysterio?
Mysterio. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, there's plenty, and Sony's, you know, trying to. Fun fact about buying studios and mergers. We heard last couple weeks, the president of Sony said, "We're not for sale." Which for me was hilarious because I was like, somebody said you wanted to buy you guys. Why? It's like, but we're not for sale.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Cleo.
Netflix put out a teaser for Netflix's Cobra Kai fourth season, and as they put on the script on the show, it's like what's his name, Kreez, is talking to someone on the phone, someone powerful, someone rich, and the character Tyra Silver is coming back.
Yes.
And yeah, you know him from Karate Kid 3. He was a rich bad guy that was a friend of Kreez from the war, and apparently he was probably that friend with Kreez from the war that Kreez saved, and he's gonna come back to make Daniel LaRusso and his Miyagi-lings lives, you know, miserable.
Yeah. So another adult who has the emotional maturity of a teenager and will manipulate and use teenagers.
Yeah. But that's how it was in the 80s and the 90s and the 2010s and the 2020s. Yeah. That's how it is. Yeah. Anything else? Any other news that we're missing?
I don't think so. I can't think of anything.
Yeah.
Well, there's probably something, but.
But yeah, if anything comes out, we cover next week when we come back for more news in pop culture and movies. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the movies are back.
Yes.
I mean, it never went in.
Really went away, but now they're like back for real.
But yeah, movie theaters are open and safe.
There's
no need a mask. You can eat popcorn.
Yes.
You can fart. But you can talk loud to people. You know.
No, honey, that's at home.
Yeah.
That's at home, yeah.
No, you can still fart at the movies.
I suppose.
There's no rule about it.
Well, the movies are loud, the popcorn is salty, the Coke is bubbly.
And expensive, yeah.
That too.
The
point is, go to the movies.
Yes.
Because they're back.
Yeah.
And there's some good stuff to see.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's fun stuff coming.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully things will be back to normal and things will come. We're going to get more movies and more. And no more reruns. And, you know, retrospectives.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that's it for this week. We see you next week for more pop culture news and reveals. May the force be with you.
Live long and prosper. Bye.